somewhere in the Houston Midtown area. It's The Sit Down with Slick Vic.
Welcome, everyone. It's The Sit Down with Slick Vic. It's your boy, Slick Vic. Joined today by a special guest, an old friend, and a second-timer. He would have been the first, but he got here a little bit too late. Y'all know Clayton was the first on the second-timer club, but Ivan Lorenzo Vega Cheeseman, thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, good to be here. Good evening, everybody. All of the faithful following. It's good to be here. It's always good to be with you, my man, Vic. How are you this evening?
I'm good, man. This is my favorite time of the day, you know, getting off of work.
Yes.
You know, my favorite part of the day. now I'm here doing what I like to do. Just kind of shoot the shit with somebody. You know, you've had a pretty interesting adjustment recently, right? What's been going on with you? I know you've had some big changes in the Casa de Queso.
Oh, yeah. Adjustments. The adjustment's kind of still happening. So I'm just, this adjustment is just this transitory existence now where I am, where I'm always traveling. I'm always moving between Brownwood, Texas and my beloved Houston, Texas, where my home is.
And for the people, you know, I know what's going on, but what's going on in Brownwood?
Oh, well, Brownwood. Well, so I imagine I'm probably following a similar trend that's going on around the country. I've read a lot about a urban flight recently. And so once COVID hit, I kind of, there were a lot of very scary projections for the restaurant industry that there'd be a 30% shutdown overall. And the industry has been just irreversibly beaten and struck down since COVID. And we're a resilient lot, cooks and chefs and restaurateurs. We are accustomed to cyclical wins and losses as you go along, as you too are well aware, having formerly been from the industry and now having transitioned to IT. Very, very good. Very well. Very well done. right on the cusp of all this madness.
Yeah. You know, I had to make a move, man. I just, and that's actually, it's funny you say that because I was actually about to say, you know, I'm sure you have a little bit of, you're a little scared, right? To still continue on this path. I think I'm sure changing careers has crossed your mind, which I imagine would be difficult now that you're really starting to see some real fruit, right? I mean, from all those years of labor.
So there's, there's always going to, I guess, you know, there's probably always going to be a trade-off in this kind of an industry, But I'm a part of a really awesome outfit out in Brownwood, Texas. It's called the Turtle Restaurant. Owners Mary Stanley and David Stanley, and it's pretty rare that you're going to find an environment where the owners care as much as they do, and just create an environment for success as much as these people do. So. I was given this opportunity by a mentor friend of mine, and they needed some help to get past the holiday periods, which are always going to be a little more demanding, and they were working with the skeleton crew out there. So one of the best things about when things are going well, anyway, when things are going good, one of the best things about this industry is that you see growth, you see improvement, you see your positive impact, your negative impact just as easily, but you see all of these things happen very quickly. So we've had some wins, and it's been fun. It's been a whole lot of fun, And then there's the midnight drive home, where I got to get home to Houston, and it's a tug of war right now. We're not sure what we're gonna do. My wife has a very successful career here in Houston, in the financial sector, and I am.
But you're fortunate that we are in Texas. Because if like you're in California, you're shut down. So a lot of states,
or
New York, you're shut down.
Yeah.
So you're not shut down. You're still creating. What is it that you would, for example, if you did have to transition to something else, what do you think you would miss the most?
Aside from that growth, aside from that consistent growth, also the. And I guess this is part of the growth, the learning. Like you're constantly learning. There's so many different kinds of chefs, and there's so many different specializations. And you can go your whole career, you know, just on seeing one side of it. And I've been making a lot of pasta and a lot of bread recently, and that's been a whole lot of fun. And learning about like the chemistry of baking, and baking is. So much, you have to be so precise as well as be able to adapt to the environment that is affecting your doughs or your cultures. And this is called like reading the dough, and, you know, humidity and your climate can affect that. And so that's a blast, and just this constant stimulation, that happens when you love something. And if you're a naturally curious person and you seek out people who are better than you, it's very easy to keep your attention in this industry.
Well, you know, it's, what do you think about this? You know, right now the vaccine's rolling out, you know, so that definitely will help out the industry, right? You got the vaccine rolling out. Are you somebody who's like, hey, yeah, let's get that going? Or
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like to think that you and I specifically are rational people, and we put our faith in science and reason, and I guess I'd like to maybe not be, you know, first in line, but there's definitely a lot more important people than me who need it. And but yeah, of course, Vic, what about you? Would you get it?
Yes, absolutely. But I mean, not immediately. I think I would wait, you know. Right now it's already released in the UK. Shipments are coming into Houston, which are supposed to be dispersed this week. So
yeah,
it's happening. So I feel like as long as it's above like 90-something%, I'm good. I'm sure there's going to be some people that, you know, that die, or just, you know, something terrible happens. Just terrible.
Allergic reactions, or
yeah,
like
just terrible. Yeah. Their head explodes. Just, I don't know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But but yeah, I mean, I think that it's for the best to do it, and hopefully enough people will take it, and it can get the infection rate, you know, down to the point where, you know, the industry, like, you know, like you're in, is able to make a comeback.
Yeah, yeah, and we will. You know, that's part of the, part of the benefit of going out to a smaller town is just the less dense population. If everyone is following, the CDC guidelines and just having general empathy and consideration for one another, then there can be a relative amount of safety. I don't know. I was listening to some NPR today, and I heard Melinda Gates talking about how like all of the richest countries are purchasing up like all the vaccines. And Canada, for example, has five times the what they need for their population. And she warns that what this will cause is these hotbeds in the poor areas that will still create waves of infection throughout the recovery process. Any thoughts?
So, yeah, that's Melinda Gates, the wife of Bill Gates, which is the third richest person in the world, something like that, top five.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got all this money. Why don't y'all just make some more, or just let's get it done? Like, what? Well, you got two companies who are cranking them out. I know they have the right. They have money, a lot of money. If you allocate it to the right people, let's get it going. You know, this is at the end of the day, money talks, and they can get more vaccines, and they will. You know. I'm not too concerned about it. I think once the guinea pigs in the UK, you know, once we see the numbers and the research, then we'll crank things up.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I wonder what's going to happen with the anti-maskers, if they'll be anti-vaxxers then, or I wonder where the overlap will be with the anyone with just general distrust for the government.
I think at the end of the day, there's this big belief by people that you just can't trust the government, like you were saying earlier.
Oh, that's crazy. You know, did you hear about the 126 Republicans, congressmen who are siding with Trump to overturn the results of our legitimate election and to disenfranchise hundreds of thousands of voters?
Yeah, you know, I heard about that. You know, I've heard a lot of things about what they're trying to do. You know, it's sad that it comes to that, but I understand it. I understand what's happening, because I feel that if the shoe was reversed, that it would be, you know, Biden would do the same. You know, maybe not the same way, maybe not handle himself that in that manner, but the paperwork that gets filed in court would be very similar, because it was that close.
Well, I don't think it was that close. I think
you have to remember Gore versus Bush.
What was
that one? That went all the way to the Supreme Court.
I think that one was much closer than this.
No. I'm not talking about the overall. I'm talking about the states, like the individual states, which ultimately affected the Electoral College.
Yeah, but it was like 306 Electoral College votes for Biden and whatever, 220 something
well,
for Trump.
Look, I know what it is. I believe you, but some apparently some states were close enough for them to be like, hey, you know, and they were cheating, but there's not enough evidence for the cheating. That's why everything's getting dismissed.
Yeah, no, I don't think that there were, I don't know, I might be wrong. There might have been some that were kind of close, but I'm pretty sure it was just Trump calling, trying to make some juju happen. I think everyone was pretty scared of the electoral judges turning for Trump, and that strategy didn't go anywhere. And thank God, you know, I'm sure we'll see in our generation the envelope get pushed even further by someone a lot smarter, a lot more charismatic than that orange lump of shit. But, you know, whatever, Democrat or Republican, I'm sure it's around the corner. Talking about like transit, being a transitory person, you are sedentary. You are in the same place. Your roots are, you just got a house. You just had your kid. I mean, what's been going on? What's up with that? What's COVID like with that?
I mean, it's the way it's, you know, it's no different than, I guess it's a little bit different because of the kid, but I mean, you have to take the proper precautions. You know, you have to do a lot of extra work to make sure that, you know, your baby doesn't get COVID and die. You really have to. Oh, God. Why are you laughing?
I'm not.
I think you are. That's what it sounds like.
Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, I mean, so, and I think now, you know, you go out, you go to the store, you go anywhere, everyone's wearing a mask. I mean, you do have a couple of the chin straps and the people that want to let just the nose hang out. You know, I don't understand it, but whatever. You know, there's not as much of those as there is people wearing masks. So I do definitely feel a lot safer. You know, we go to the store, we do things like that. The only thing that gets affected mainly is like gatherings, not being able to attend events or, you know, things you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, like when a baby comes to a family pre-COVID, like everyone's there to hold him and touch him and coo over him. And
yeah, none of that's happening here. Yeah, none of that is happening. Very minimal contact with the baby. Obviously, you got the grandparents that get some type of access. But that's it. You know, I still have a good amount of family members that haven't even seen the baby. So it's tough, man. It's tough. You know, it's something that I feel is going to end soon. I do believe the vaccine is going to make a difference. And I believe that we're going to be able to, you know, just go out and feel safe. Because, oh, you see what happened in New Zealand.
They claim to be virus-free.
Virus-free. Opened up shop. Exactly like the way it was before.
No vaccine, no nothing, just
mass gatherings, no masks, nothing.
Damn. They're like, you did good. Have at it. Have some fun, everyone.
But nobody can go in.
Go inside?
Yeah.
There's no indoor?
No, I mean, nobody, no outside.
Oh, wow.
You can't visit.
Isn't it crazy, this trade-off we've made of not shutting down anything? So
yeah, they did like a March, April, they did a shutdown where you couldn't leave your house. Everybody had, it was a hard shutdown for like a couple weeks. And then they did like a second phase where you could only go out for like essentials. People had to wear masks. And then third phase, I forgot what it is. And then finally, there's no more cases for 2 weeks. And boom, let's go.
Wow. They're still urging Texas to take more precautions to prevent gatherings.
Texas does not give a fuck. Yes. That's the bottom line.
This is true.
I know people, you know, they post it, who are having mass parties. Mass.
Jesus.
40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 people.
This is Texas.
Some of these parties are happening at a house. Some of these parties are happening, I guess, at clubs. I don't know. But it's the government has allowed this to happen here in Texas. And, I mean, it sucks. But I don't know. I kind of feel like you just got to kind of take it. There's no other way but to accept it.
Yeah, I guess so. I have recently had several members of my family contract COVID, and they take precautions. They avoid mass gatherings, but their profession as educators has made them exposed, I guess, by these little petri dish babies carrying around all asymptomatic. But yeah, I mean, I guess that is all calculated. I guess that's all expected, anticipated. I guess that's acceptable loss. We reached 300,000 today in COVID deaths. That's more than World War II. 9 months.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely wasn't handled correctly across the globe. Yeah, I mean, the government dropped the ball. There's no other way of putting it. I mean, I agree that there would have been a lot of deaths regardless, but with the proper precautions, the deaths would have been dramatically decreased. And right now, we would be moving towards like opening back up.
Yes. Yes, indeed we would. And what about in your new industry, Vic? Has there been like a, I feel like there's been this overall awareness that remote work is more, is something that is more and more accessible. Have you seen that reflected in your industry?
Yeah, the IT industry is booming. The people are working from home and still, I mean, I haven't seen the numbers, but it looks like companies are shifting to allowing their employees to work from home. So I'm assuming that the productivity is remaining, you know, constant, if not improved.
So I saw an interesting fact about about COVID's reduction for profitability in mass transit. So they're projecting mass transit to be slowly, or I guess retarded, like phased out a little bit, which will further encourage remote work.
No, I mean, you know, COVID is definitely encouraging the remote work. And I mean, that's the most important factor. So right now, the government and most companies are really concentrating on building an infrastructure that allows that type of data to be transmitted. That's a lot of data going from all these people home, all these people's homes into the company servers and all that. It's like, gets a little complicated, but yeah, so that industry is booming. There is a lot of demand for it. Most people are not very computer savvy. So you do need people to guide them and to help them navigate them through the technology and how it's now being, you know, infused with our everyday life.
An educator of a sort.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that today. Usually this is not the case with my job, but I was dealing with the elderly. You know, this woman was old and she was also sick. So she was like super scared of COVID. And so she worked from home and she had this new laptop that we gave her to use, but you know, she didn't know how to use it. So cause she was using her personal computer from home ever since she left in March because of COVID. And so basically we're on the phone and it's just very difficult to try to navigate her by telling her, oh, click on this, click on that. And then she's like, oh, it says this. Oh, I don't know. So I was like, you know what? No, then she was like, you know what? Hey, what if I live close. What if I came by and dropped it off? I was like, perfect. So she just came by and just dropped it off. And it was great. But I mean, usually I can just remote into somebody else's computer, but they have to know how to use their computer for me to do that. And she, you know, she could not, but it's okay. Cause I took care of it.
That's what we do, Vic.
You know, it's funny because my company has a department that specializes in AI, right? AI technology. We just acquired a company. I'm not going to say the name because I don't think I've said where I work, so I'll keep that anonymous.
But that's good.
So we acquired a company that has AI in linking text messaging to ordering food from this business, right? Because there's, you know, most people say, well, why don't they get an app, right?
Sure.
Website. Because that costs money. This is like a small mom and pop place. And everybody texts So this system is designed for you to be to text very, very fast and simple. It kind of recognizes who you are, what you normally get, what you like. Like it figures stuff out. And I mean, that's where everything's kind of moving towards, which will eliminate a lot of like bullshit. Nah, I'm not gonna say bullshit jobs, but
I actually know exactly what you're referencing. If you look up White Castle Burgers, they have like an almost like they already have one shop like this where everything's automated, and it's just robots doing.
Now let me ask you this: you brought it up, White Castle, which was established as kind of a restaurant of sorts. They create, you know, cook burgers, these little small burgers. I don't know how the original one was, but I'm assuming it was more like on the grill, more of an art form, right? So now it's, you know, fast forward, it's being run by robots. And, you know, that's a business that, you know, that you're a part of. So do you feel threatened by being replaced by robots?
Well, listen, there's always going to be aspects of a job that are a little menial and, you know, may not always have the most security. But if you, once again, like as I was referencing earlier, if you have some curiosity and you're able to learn, this industry rewards leadership and you know, determination and,
well, hold on.
And consistency.
I asked you if you were threatened by robots.
Okay, so no, I'm not threatened by robots, but I see their threat to my colleagues, or not colleagues.
You read my mind. How would you feel working with a robot, or a sous chef robot, who you could just be like, hey, Hank, I need an order of, you know, I need 3 steaks, medium rare. I need, you know, some fries, you know, steak fries, saute with onions and mushrooms. And he could do all of that. How would you feel about that?
It
was all perfect.
I forget the exact reference, but it's like the fucking, the tripped out valley or something, where basically, if a robot is made too humanoid, it freaks out the human brain. And there's theories about how we have this mechanism in our head, in our brains, because when we saw other hominids, and because we once walked in a world with like 35 species of hominids, and it was to our evolutionary advantage to have an instinct to kill them. I think that kind of applies here with hyper advanced robotic technologies. I think I would eventually have to kill Hank. But no, as long as the robots are basically just some shit that I can program, then I'm not too threatened. If we get to Hank like producing a bunch of IP and you know, trading in Bitcoin and you know.
Well, that's the fear, right? That the robot eventually becomes basically, well, this is what I think will happen first, because it's already it's already happening, right? And that's, people are like, oh, robots getting so smart. I'm like, no, it's when robots fuse with humans.
That's the threat.
Because then you have people who are able to blend, you know, fuse with cyborgs, so they're like, they can run fast, or like they're in a contraption that allows them to do all this crazy stuff. But
they would be among us,
and they can process you know, data at a very rapid pace, because their minds can plug into, you know, the net, and just it'll be crazy. It's already in the works.
You know, I saw an article today. I feel that probably is going to fit into all this somehow. And it's one of those things like that wouldn't even be on the radar until like the Terminator just comes back in time to warn you about it. But, it was just a little blip, like a popular science thing where there are they've come up with a cybernetic material, or a programmable, respondable, like robotic material that is 90% liquid. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That is very crazy.
Yeah.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Ranch Houston, comprised of Ashe Yoga and Wellness, The Garden Project, and The Mill HTX, is an intentional, conscious organization created for adults to connect to an inclusive community through art, food, nature exploration, and movement, and for school-aged children to empower themselves through education on sustainability and edible gardening. Everyone is encouraged to connect to the curiosity of their inner child as they nurture their nature in a world that so often encourages separation and fear. Minority and veteran-owned, The Ranch Houston is located south of the Medical Center, and you could visit their website at www.theranchhouston.com. I highly recommend it. I've been there. It's awesome. Check it out. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Apparel Up, the leading custom apparel provider in Houston, Texas. They help their customers represent their brand correctly with high-quality, long-lasting custom apparel. Whether you're in need of embroidered scrubs for your medical practice, embroidered polos for your nationwide enterprise, or screen-printed shirts for your sport team, they got you covered. They also do the apparel for my show, so definitely buy some of that stuff too. And you can find their website at apparelup.us. Check them out. So I've talked about this a little bit in the podcast, but you are a member of the Quad.
Oh, yes. Oh.
I don't know if I've ever said that name on the air. But, you know, and that's just, you know, a couple of my friends, you know, Cheese being one of them. We've known each other, all of us, for what, 20 years plus?
I think at least 21 now.
And what we do is we like to do a weekly Zoom, which usually goes roughly 3 to 4 hours, if not longer. I usually have to go. I'm sure y'all go out, go keep going sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a Zoom call where we also have a review of a book that we read.
Yes, we are doing a book club, Bolivar.
Simon Bolivar. Yes.
We're reading that book, but I definitely encourage reading. Reading is awesome, but mm-hmm. without getting into that, the reason I bring it up is more importantly for, I think, more of the mental health, more of a good for the soul type of outcomes that have come out of being a part of this, what we call the Quad, this brotherhood, because we've always been close, but for whatever reason, we only talked, you know, we never did like a group, you know, talk like that, or even a group text or anything. For I don't even know why. Like when we started doing it, we're like, why haven't we been doing this? But
it's pretty awesome thing. All hail the Quad.
What has ended up happening from that is it's just, I think it's grown. You know, I think from the initial, you know, hey, let's do this book. Actually, it was before it was a book club. It was just, what, was it a thread or?
Yeah, it was just kind of a weekly check-in on everybody. For like the first couple of the first month of COVID.
Whose idea was it to do the Zoom?
I don't know if it was an idea or as much as something that kind of organically sprang up, but probably Sunil Nedna.
And wasn't the initial one like not just them, right? Wasn't there other people?
Yeah, there was like 12 people on the first call. But as we began a cycle of one-on-one tournament style hand-to-hand combat, we eventually whittled down to 4 members, the current Quad.
Yes, but I think it's important to talk about just the. I don't know about you, but for me, you know, it's not just about that. You know, 3-4 hours a week. It's about
the imminent final battle between all 4 of us to create the single.
We can reach out to each other at any point during the day, during the night. I remember the emergency meeting. Mm. where everybody just, you know, jumped on the call. I mean, I think it's something special. I think, and I don't think that people don't have it because they, you know, we're fortunate. Yeah, I think we're fortunate in a way, but I think people just need to reach out. People need to be open to it. People need to realize that, hey, I mean, only two of us are in the same state. No, three of us, but I mean, only two of us in the same city. So we are communicating over the internet, right?
You know?
And it's great. And I think people need to embrace the technology. Yes, it's going to be better when we have the holograms. I know. I know it's going to be better, you know? And I think they already have the technology to where, like, you can, like, control another, like, a robot or another being to do stuff. But that's when you blend that
avataring.
In, yeah, exactly. So that's going to happen eventually. So we're not there yet, though. Mm. But with what you got now, it works.
Yeah, you know, I'm right there with you, Vic. This thing has been, and honestly, when I describe it to other people, I even say it's probably 30% book club and 70% like mental health check. And that, I mean that in the best way, because COVID, just like with having to sacrifice keeping the economy going for having a strong, physically present, familial family structure, something like this, still connecting with our minds, still connecting, you know, visually, and exchanging our ideas and just opening up, maybe even because of the unorthodox nature of this medium of communication with each other. Like we said, we've never really done this before. Maybe that's even helped a little bit in having some openness.
You know what this reminds me of a little bit? I mean, obviously the difference of having the video aspect of it, but I remember when we were on AIM, you know, AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was hot fire back then.
You know, yeah, I mean, there was definitely a lot of back and forth on that, and definitely you can have the chat rooms where everybody's in there.
Yeah.
You know, the chat room is like the original group text when you think about it, right?
I'm also thinking of like the just indecipherable grammar of that time.
Yeah, but AIM, what was I comparing it to?
You were comparing AIM to Zoom. You're saying Zoom is the AIM of today.
Let's hope
it has a better outcome.
No, that's not. I was saying that it reminded me a little bit of it, but because of how we used it to, I guess it was because the way we used it to kind of form our bond, you know, us four. I remember.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I remember, like, I'm trying to think if I can even think off all the screen names. I think you were, I can't think of, no, something, Queso, right? No.
There was
I know Sonia was Great Sax Anytime. Great Sax Anytime. Because he plays the saxophone.
Yeah.
So he likes the sax. I get it.
Yeah, that was great. I think I was before the green.
Oh, yeah. You like Weezer.
Yeah.
Not bad. I can't remember Adnan.
I remember Sunil reaching out to me because we had just become acquainted with each other in a class. And some girl I had asked out, he had asked out, and she was like into him. I was like, hey, man. And he just like reached out, and we laughed about it because I think we had a similar moment during COVID that I think there was a little deja vu where he was just like, hey, man, you're like, hey, buddy, love you, Sunil. Love you, Adnan. Love the quad, man. Shit's been so healthy for my brain.
Very healthy for my brain as well. You know, so if you're somebody who, you know, is watching, you know, binge watching Netflix or, you know, Hulu, HBO Max, whatever streaming service you're using to not spend time talking to your loved ones, then you need to refocus.
Yeah, take a second. Make a Zoom. Do a Skype.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important, especially like with
FaceTime.
With, you know, the people, the older people who, you know, who are very scared, as they should be, because they're compromised. So, and, you know, they're trying to figure it out. Oh, how do you do the Zoom? How do you gotta do the Zoom? the guys show them how to do the Zoom.
Yeah.
So, but you show them how to do it and they know how to do it. And then they can see you. And they're like, wow, this might be the last time I see them, because they're old.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of heavy themes. You know, since you said it, there's this group of old ladies the other day that had come into the restaurant, and one of them had said, like, you know what would be so nice today? To just have a hug and a kiss. And you know what, Vic? I felt her.
Oh, she was talking to you or what?
No, she was talking to her other breakfast buddies there. but yeah, man, I felt that.
Oh, I've you know, that hit me. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it, but I remember it hit me one day. It was March, April, May. It was probably like June or July. So, you know, a couple months into the lockdown. And I was outside on the patio. This is when I was still at the apartment. And, you know, it was my neighbors were out there. It was Greg and Daniel, my downstairs neighbor. There, we were all sitting out talking on the patio, you know, just shooting the shit. I forgot what we were talking about. I was like, I think I was talking something about, like, oh, Pornhub was free or something. Like, Pornhub was doing, like, free. Somebody brought it up. And they're like, yeah. And then I was like, yeah, I guess there's a lot of people jacking off right now. Like, if you and I was, and they kind of, because I had, you know, a girl so at home all the time, so I didn't have to really do that.
Sure.
But the other two guys at that point in time were two single guys. And yeah. So I'm like, you know, I remember the hurricane when that shit hit. I was single, and you know, we're not gonna say what happened, but
like, he owed you some money.
But I thought, you know, I thought that was pretty hilarious. You know, that is something that has gone up.
I'm sure that's a thing. Yeah, I'm sure that's a thing. Increased COVID beating off.
Increased COVID beaten off, increased, COVID. I guess anything you can think of that is addictive got enhanced, right?
That's actually an interesting point. Think about Oregon legalizing everything during COVID.
I think it is difficult to answer. Because just to be clear, by everything, like everything, heroin, cocaine.
Heroin, crack, yeah. Everything I think just, you know, whatever possession charges would be, there's still distribution. Just if you get caught with just, you know, the perso,
small amounts.
Yeah, you're fine.
I mean, you're fine, nothing? Like, they just, no rehab, nothing? No,
you're good.
No rehab.
No. Sit it out.
So maybe the first one you can do a slap on the wrist, but especially like you said, it's just for somebody who has a problem. Then yeah, you try to get treatment. I think that's the most important thing is treatment.
Yeah.
Then we kind of went off track. What were we talking about before?
We were talking about some COVID jerking off.
No.
Pornhub.
No. After that.
Streaming consciousness is Ivan's mind. He's talking. He's still talking. And streaming.
Oh, man.
You got me, Vic. But mostly, I guess, about how COVID has impacted personal relationships And isolation has created an increase in personal satisfaction.
In addictions. The increase of addictions. I don't know if that issue has been addressed or what. Like, I think it's going to get swept under the rug, just like the whole narrative of not, you know, being healthy and eating right. Like, no one talks about stuff like that. Because it's not good for the economy. All these companies would lose money.
You're saying that they're not telling people to be healthy during COVID because...
To be healthy in general.
Because burgers and fucking...
Yes.
And no healthcare is more profitable.
Of course. Everything is done because there's a bottom line. I mean, there any way you break it down, it comes down to, well, how does that affect my money?
Yeah. I heard. So, I heard a phrase recently that rang true, and it's this was from someone who voted Democrat, who voted to get Trump out of office. But they were saying you can't help but have an element of a conservative viewpoint on things if you're a business owner, if you own property. So, the bottom line, even if you have like, views on justice and, you know, social issues, no one's trying to be a paragon. There's going to be self-preservation in so much of, which is unfortunate in a lot of ways. I think, a little altruism could benefit our society right now, but that'll always be branded as, you know, some radical type shit.
I mean, so what's your prediction about where we will be, let's say, the summertime?
Well, I want to be optimistic, and I want to say that a Democratic administration is going to see the benefits of expanding social programs to incentivize, to help heal from this plague, and allow Americans to have an element of stability. And then after that's been, that's probably where we'll be by the summer. But hopefully after that, we'll see some incentivization for local industry, some support for it that we haven't seen with the Republican administration, which is ironic because you would think that the people who vote this way would recognize that as well. But there hasn't been any help from the federal government for small businesses. And there's been very little that local powers can do to help local businesses without that federal support. So hopefully we'll see that with the Democratic administration, and hopefully we'll see a more encouraging environment for domestic businesses. And then we'll go from there. And then I'm sure it'll be a tug of war. Hopefully we'll see some shifts occur with gerrymandering and the Electoral College and whatever happens with the outcome of the census case that got pushed back by the Supreme Court. But there's a lot of moving pieces. I see Trump staying as a political influence over the Republican Party, as well as some new radicalized version of whatever a conservative Republican is. I consider myself conservative, but I don't see anything that aligns with the Republican Party in my belief system. What I want to conserve is is a legacy for our children. I want to conserve. I want equity to be open for people who don't have those opportunities as well, and won't unless education reform happens. I want to conserve American values and the American dream, which is so hard to attain. And that promise is supposed to exist in the food industry. And that requires so much work from all of us. Guy Fieri has done more work than Congress to help people in our industry. And it's going to take a lot of innovation and endurance and a recognition of the mistakes that have been made.
Are you saying you're running for office?
Right here, right now.
I mean, don't talk about it, be about it.
No, no, I'm not running for office. I'm chefing out in Brownwood in a small community that it's in a scratch kitchen with a lot of integrity, and it's fun to. That's enough for me right now.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, you know, one step at a time. Tell me a little bit more about that. It's called The Turtle, right?
Yeah, The Turtle. Mary Stanley and David Stanley opened it up 17, 18 years ago. It's a lot of things. It's a Enoteca, which is a wine library. And she has excellent wines from so many regions all around the world. And she has created an environment with that best frames these wonderful wines with great food and a great staff and even gelato and espresso for after your meal.
Yeah, I looked at the website, man. The food looks amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great.
One day I will have to pay a visit. Is it on the way from Houston to Austin? Is it on the way? Do I gotta make a detour?
It's more like on the way. It's more like on the way from Austin to Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
I have family in Dallas, so I can do the double header. And
we'd love to have you, Vic.
Come on. Oh, to me, when I hear that, that means on the house, folks. So I think that I think we'll come in, me and probably the wife and the kid. Well, not the current wife, but the future wife and the kid, and definitely enjoy a nice meal by Chef Cheeseman over here.
Yeah, please, we insist.
How has it been though? When now you go from the big city, from the hustle and bustle, from traffic, from downtown living, to the population, what, 80 or something? What high? No.
I think it's like 18,000.
18,000. yeah. So a high school stadium.
yeah. Well, Elsick and Hastings. Yeah.
But. Sure, yeah. How is that? Like, is that a big change or?
Yeah, it's a huge change. But there are a few restaurants that I've had the pleasure of being in the sphere of that have had a real impact on their community, and that was Southern Goods and with Lyle Bento and. Indigo with Johnny Rhodes, and you really felt their presence and what they meant to the community. Well, Mary Stanley, everything, so many of her decisions, so many of her interactions, they're motivated and they're in tandem with the community, and it's really nice. It's a really unique and an awesome environment to be in where you can be a part of a business that is so ingrained in the local community. So that's new. It's unique. It's exciting.
What are the people like? Are the people the same? Are they more down to earth? Or
it's Texas, Vic. It's we're Texas people. You know, there's we go all over the spectrum in terms of our ideas and the way that we like our space. We like the ability to make some of our own decisions, many of our own decisions, and we like our guns.
We do like our guns.
We love them.
Do you love them?
I do.
So you are, let me ask you this. Would you consider yourself, I guess, like a pro gun guy then? You are okay with everybody having assault rifles or?
Well, let me put it to you like this.
Just handguns or something?
Let me put it to you like this. I don't want to open this can of worms here, but let me put it to you like this. There was a time when the Tommy gun was legal to tote around on the streets.
Yes.
And the Chicago, federal government.
The mobsters had those.
Yeah, and the federal government made a perfectly rational and sane call to remove that right. And I think it was a pretty damn good decision. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely have to find a way to kind of make things reasonable.
Yeah, and they still had every other fucking myriad of gun available. I think the Uzi wasn't made illegal until the early 90s.
I would assume before that, but I could be mistaken. I'm not a big gun guy. I don't know. I feel like in that particular issue, I think it's the thing that always baffles me, but I understand it, is it always comes down to with like, you know, it's my right. This is our right. And people need to understand that those rights aren't always the same. They're fluid throughout history. So just like in the past, you had the right to own another human being, you know, the right no longer exists. So you have to understand there are certain rights that you will lose because it's for the better of humanity. And that is what people have to understand.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. I'm so down with the social contract.
Unfortunately, this is the kicker. Unfortunately, I don't think people are willing to do. They would think, oh, the government's going to, you know, if we don't have guns, the government's going to have guns and, you know, they will control us. We can't, you know, we're out of there, which in a way is true. But I just think the more important thing is that people get this inherit, they get taught this belief from their parents and from their environment. And once that happens, this idea is just engraved in their mind. There's no way, no matter what type of evidence you show them, that they're going to change it.
Yeah, so we are in some weird age where we have access to all the information in the world. And there's so much information that we can tailor exactly what we want to hear. And we tell ourselves it's multiple news sources when it's all giving you the same idea. And you feel like a goddamn genius, even though this is the first time you fucking held a full conversation with multiple ideas that just happen to not be yours. This is a crazy age.
Ridiculous age. Ridiculous age.
Yeah. Which is why you got to read, which is, you know, why it's not a bad idea to have a group of friends to call to check you on your bullshit. And encourage yourself to be in an environment of different ideas. Because if you're just hearing the same ideas getting cycled back to you in support of what you're doing, then you're probably a part of some bullshit.
I agree. Well, folks, I have to go, and because we're doing this show on location, we're from Casa de Queso. I think I mentioned that earlier, so. Yeah, we're getting kicked out. Well, thanks for...
That was some good old-fashioned fun.
You always seem to amaze me on how much ridiculousness you can produce in a short period of time.
Thank you, Victor.
Absolutely. Well, folks, y'all have a good one.
Good night.